It's actually interesting today. I do thank you and welcome you to our service. It's a snowy day, and I know the roads are not the best condition. And you took the time and took the chance and just decided to come and spend this time of worship. We know many are missing, and sometimes travel becomes that issue. So thank you for being here. I'm very, very glad to see you. It's interesting, though, as I look around, and I'd never really thought of this before, but I do truly, truly believe that we could take and put name tags in the exact spot you're sitting, and you would come to that even without looking to find your name. I'm kind of somewhat amazed because, guys, you're all sitting exactly where you always sit. Cheryl Moore, that's right, you're a back row person. Yeah, okay. Well, Cheryl, I'm so glad you moved out of your comfort zone. I was thinking about having everybody come down a little closer, but I don't know if you could hardly stand the pressure. It's frightening, but that's okay. You know what? God loves you, and He's glad you're here. He's glad that you've got a seat that you've just wiggled into that fits you and only you. So that must be your spot. Listen as I read 1 John 3, 14 to 16. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. This coming Wednesday is Valentine's Day. And you know, I used to just look at it as a time to give chocolates and flowers and, you know, kind of a warm, fuzzy thing, but it has become something important in our country, and people honor it, and they look at it as not a religious holiday. But in a way it is, because it talks about love, and it's a celebration of love. Multitudes of people will receive a Valentine from somebody. I remember years ago back in school, and maybe you had to do them, and we all had to do those Valentine cards. I didn't mind giving the cards out. I really liked receiving them more, but I didn't mind giving them out. What I hated was sitting at home the night before writing people's names. I don't like that. Write that name down, Dennis. Okay, I put their name down on their card. Anyway, receiving Valentines. The dictionary tells us what a Valentine is. A gift or a greeting sent or given, especially to a sweetheart on Valentine's Day. Especially a greeting card sent on this day, something expressing uncritical praise or affection, a gift or greeting sent to someone special. So that's your definition of your Valentine. You know what? You can just take a piece of paper and write anything you want on that piece of paper, and you give that to your Valentine, and you filled it. You fulfilled the commitment there. It doesn't take much to just write down little notes. God expressed his love for us when he saved, backing up. I got ahead of myself, actually, guys. I really got ahead of myself, and I don't know how I did that. As we think of Valentine's Day, I want you to realize God has sent us a Valentine. And it's a message of love that he has sent to show to all mankind. From the very beginning, God has expressed and shown the great love that he has for man. Remember, we would not have love were it not for God. God expressed his love in creation. God prepared the earth for man before he created him. God expressed his love when he saved Noah's family from the flood. And he preserved a seed so man could replenish the earth. God expressed his love when he sent Jesus to become a human. And God caused God to become man. God expressed his love in the life of Jesus here on earth. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. God expressed his love in the death of Jesus. John 15, 13 says, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. God expressed his love in the resurrection of Jesus. John 14, 19 says, Jesus says, because I live, you also will live. Today, as we come together and we're thinking about Valentine's Day, and we're going to examine closer God's love for us. But I want to tell you a true story. And this is, I'm not pulling your leg, I'm not pulling a prank. This is a true story that actually happened, and I want to share this with you. It kind of fits with what we're talking about. This is a true story. It took place back in 1884. James and his friend Jack were the best of friends. So when Jim lost both his legs in a railroad accident, Jack did everything he could to help. At first, Jim was certain his career with the railroad is finished. Then the company gave him another job, signalman. His outpost was to be a lonely little stop more than 200 miles from anywhere. Jack went along to be whatever help he could be. Jim had barely recovered from the trauma of a double amputation when the railroad had given him the new assignment. He would live in a little wooden shack about 150 yards from the signal tower. It was going to be lonely out there, and there would be many difficult adjustments. But Jack would help for a while anyway, long enough for Jim to overcome those initial adjustments. Remember that. I'm going to come back to that story here in a little bit. We have expressions of God's love. Remember John 3:16? Can you guys say that with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Great passage. One of the first passages that we learn, really, when we start memorizing Scripture. I think this goes all the way back to my childhood. God loved the world, setting none aside. His love is extended to all. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You get that? We didn't get perfect. We're still not. While we were yet sinners, the love of God showed, and Christ came and he died for us. He paid the price for our sins. Ephesians 2:4-5, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. It is by grace you have been saved. God loved us so much, even though we were spiritually dead and doomed in our sins, he gave us back our lives when he raised Jesus from the dead. Only by his understanding or his undeserved favor have we been saved. Everything about that? Right where you are, right how you are, God poured his love into you, and Christ died for you. That's a lot of love. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17 says, "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself, the God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word." It's interesting. Today we're going to be celebrating communion. The interesting thing is that it all ties to love. Why do we celebrate communion? Because we love God. And we celebrate the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Here it is, as we're thinking about Valentine's Day and all that means, we will celebrate the love that God gave to us. First John 4, 9 through 10 says this: "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." And then Revelation 1, 5 declares, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood." Let there be no doubt, God loves us. And he has expressed his love through his word to us. Well, in the beginning, Jack stuck around mostly for company. He swept out the shack and pumped water from the well and tended the garden, all things that Jim could not do. There was a little trolley, a single-seater, that led from the shack to the signal tower. And Jack pushed Jim on that trolley several times a day and stood there while Jim operated the big levers in sequence. Eventually, Jack got so familiar with Jim's routine that he began to walk out and operate the signal system himself. Sure enough, pretty soon, in addition to house cleaning and the rest, Jack gradually began to take over all the duties for the railroad. Though officially he was not an employee, there was a lot to remember on that job, a lot to be done. Daily responsibilities at the signal tower, including working the levers as well as the tower controls that opened and closed siding switches. But Jack never complained. After all, Jim was his friend. It was the least Jack could do. Well, more of that little story just a little bit. God expects the church to be carriers of his Valentine to the world. 1 John 4:11, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." We're to send a message of love to the world, folks. This past week, I want you to ask yourself, and I want you to think about this: how did you show love in a way that the world would see it? What did you do? I guess on the same process of thinking, I could say, how did people see the world in you? How many blasphemies came from your mouth? How many taunts of anger jumped? It may have been just quick. How many times did you toot the horn at somebody you were upset at? How many times did you raise your voice because you were really angry? How about the people around you? Did they see the love of Christ in you? I want to share a little thought with you, and you guys can do what you want. You know, the neat thing about church on Sunday morning You come to church on Sunday morning, and I put God's word out there, and I try to fill your heart and your mind with God's word. But the truth is this, when you walk out those doors, you can be whoever you want to be. It's true. You walk out those doors, you can do and say and be and just carry on however you want to. And the truth is, you do. I'm not saying that's good. I'm not saying that's bad. But we need to think about that. You know, sometime it's like this. We come to church on Sunday morning. And we praise God and we live for heaven. And we walk out the doors and on Monday we start living like hell. Wow. Did the pastor say that? Yeah, I said that. Because that's the way it goes for a lot of people. I can be the most religious, righteous person in the world. And I love my brothers and sisters. But oh, on Monday, that dirty, rotten so-and-so. Well, that person did this and that person. We do it. And that is the love that God has given us to show others? I don't think so. You see, also with your spouse, if the only time your spouse is appreciated, or if the only time your spouse feels appreciated is Valentine's Day, you're messing up. They should feel that appreciation every single day. Your spouse should never have any question how you care for them or how you love them. Your spouse should never have any doubt that you are totally devoted to them, that there's nothing you wouldn't do for them. Your spouse should feel like you would lay down your life for them if it became necessary. And perhaps others around and in your environment should feel the same way. Children love your parents. Wow. How many of the children, and we don't have a lot here, but you think about the times that parents don't feel very loved. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We're to send a message of love to the world. What is the message you send? What is it that He expects us to carry? 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 says this. This is a great passage, by the way. Anytime I do marriage counseling, this is a part of the counseling. And typically what I will do is I'll take this passage and I'll ask the couple, I say, you rewrite this. Put it in your own words. And of the things that I do, the couples come back and say they appreciated most was this exercise. Because it makes you think about what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. I get stuck on that one every time. I have a temper. And I have to watch that. And I have to allow God to give me the strength to not display that. Donna learned years ago, Dennis has a temper. Before we got married, she knew Dennis has a temper. I once jumped in and kind of pounded on a guy because he got too close to her. True story. I wasn't always a pastor. And she got very mad at me because I beat on this guy. She knew I had a temper. And anger is something that's the place where Satan likes to get me. Over the years, God has been gracious enough to show me how to handle it for the most part. But you know what? If I'm angry inside, even though I'm not yelling and screaming and breaking things, that's still anger. Love does not anger. Not my words. I'm just reading what was written. But I've seen so many families fall apart due to anger. I've seen parents abuse their children because of anger. I've seen husbands abuse wives, and yes, I've seen wives abuse husbands because of anger. And that's something that that we need to realize, is that love is not easily angered. Here's another big one. Love keeps no record of wrongs. I remember 10 years ago, Donna, I love Donna, and Donna loves me, there's no question, but we still have our little stories, and I'm not going to tell the whole story, but there was a story where Donna didn't trust me to be where I was supposed to be, and her and her best friend Luann, and some of you have met Luann, took off a mountain to try to find me. Her brother and I and some other friends had headed up the mountain hunting, hang out. We were up doing a camp out. We always did a Christmas camping trip, and the guys, we just had a great time. Well, through a long story and a long process that I'm not going to get into with you, I'd love to because it's hilarious, but we're coming down off the mountain, and as we're walking down off the mountain, we look over kind of in a field headed off into nowhere land. We see Donna and Luann. And we yelled, "Hey, Donna!" She didn't hear us. So her brother, being her brother, he took the shotgun, and it was a double barrel, and he let loose with both barrels at one time. That got their attention. They started walking toward us. We started walking toward them. I had no idea why Donna was up on that mountain. I had no idea what was going on. And I was saying, Luann up on the mountain. Luann does not walk in the mountains. You'd have to know her, you'd understand. And so we get up to Donna, and I said, "What are you doing?" And before I got any further, she says, "Get down off this mountain right now." Suddenly, the group I was hunting with disappeared. And it was me and Donna. And I says, "What's going on? Where have you been?" "I've been on the mountain with your brother." "No, you haven't." "Yeah, I have." There's a long story goes with it. Well, Luann and this one, Donna is sitting there, and she's just reading me the riot act and jumping up. I couldn't say a word. And Luann is over leaning on her brother saying, "Tommy, carry me. I can't make it. I can't get down the mountain." I was about to cry, but Donna was upset. Now, if you ask Donna, "Was Dennis on this mountain?" To this day, she'll say, "I don't know where he was, but he wasn't on the mountain." Never have convinced her. She doesn't know. And fortunately, it's one of those things that we laugh about. But folks, listen, too often, couples hold that grudge, and things happen, and years and years and years later, okay, it comes up, and they remember something from the past and the harm that has been done. We are very fortunate because God looks at us and he says, "I know everything you've done. I know everything you've done. The good, the bad, the ugly, whatever, I know it all." And he says, "I have forgiven you, and it will never come up again." Isn't that cool? He'll never bring it up. When God forgives, he forgets. It's done. And you know, it would be wonderful. We're told that when we forgive, we are to forget. I find that very hard. I can forgive, and I can be very forgiving, but it's so hard to forget. And sometimes I pray that, "Lord, help me to forget." And a lot of times it's my own stuff that I need to forget because it's the past and it's over, and God has forgiven me because he loves me. And I need to forget some of that too. Love keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. Favorite part, Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes. And the greatest part here, love always perseveres. Do you know what that means? Love conquers. Love wins. You know, persevere is to come out on top. And when we allow love to be that motivation in our relationships, it's going to win. It's when we quit trusting love that things begin to fall apart. It always perseveres. Our Valentine message to the world must be what love is. And it must be a message of patience and talked of in verses 4 and verse 7. We live in a world of impatience. We're impatient with, and I see this, and I want you to keep record of your own here as we talk. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, have been impatient with a waitress? No, you don't have to raise your hand, Eric. Thank you. How many have been impatient with a store clerk? How many of you have been impatient with a family member? How many have been impatient with yourself? Patience. The problem is this. When we're impatient, we become rude. I see people, and it bothers me, I see people come down on waitresses because the food comes out cold or the food comes out bad, and all she's doing is serving it to you, or he's doing. But who takes the heat? It's not the cook. And people can be so rude. And it's like, this person who's serving you is expected to take this attitude. If they want to keep the job, they take it. And what do? My food's cold. Oh, sir, I am so sorry. I'll take it back. Well, it shouldn't have brought out that way anyway. You know, well, they're expected to take it. The clerk, the family members, patience. And it's hard. But we need to practice that, and we need to practice patience. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, "And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak." And listen to this, not my words, God's word. Be patient with everyone. Wow. Does that include my wife? Yes. Does that include your husband? Yes. Does that include your children? Yes. Does that include coworkers? Yes. What? Be patient with everyone. How you doing, folks? Hebrews 10:36. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. And then James 1:4. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then James 5:7 says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield his valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains." And patience, again, it's one of my weaknesses. But God expects me to be patient and to be patient with one another. God is a patient God, and He suffers long with people. Jesus is a patient Savior, and He was patient with the apostles, and He's been patient with you and me. How long has God been patient with us? And He still is. And I know this because we've not arrived yet. He's not done. The Holy Spirit will help us to be patient with all men, and we can call on the Holy Spirit for that. Because patience suffers long, and it bears all things, and it endures. It never retaliates. Our Valentine message to the world must be not only patience, but it's also a message of kindness. We look at verse 4 back on the passage I was reading. Love is patient. Then it says, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. This is love in action. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves. And Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. The Bible tells us that Joseph was kind to his brothers and all of his family, and even though they sold him into slavery, he was kind to his brothers. The Good Samaritan, remember that story? The Good Samaritan was kind to a wounded Jewish man. Do people see you being kind to others? What did Jesus say about that? Matthew 25, 34-40, it says this, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? Then the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of these, the least brothers of mine, you did for me. Kindness. Our Valentine message to the world must also be a message of unselfishness and generosity. Talking about love, we go back to verse 5 in the passage and says, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. The Living Bible puts it this way, love does not demand its own way. It's not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. That's pretty convicting. We don't always see that in a Christian, but we should. And Jesus says in Matthew 22:39, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I wonder, and this is hard to think about, I wonder how many people's souls are in hell today, partly because some Christian acted selfishly. Have you been the neighbor? Have you acted in a way that makes God happy? Or have people looked at you and said, if that's what a Christian is, no thanks? Our Valentine message to the world must also be a message of righteousness. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, always perseveres. This is our love and conduct. Now Luke 1:74-75 says, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. Philippians 1:11, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Righteousness, you remember last week in our message I shared with you what righteousness means? And being honest, who remembers what that definition was? Raise your hand. You mean you talked about righteousness last year, Pastor? Are you sure? Well, yeah, I did. Righteousness means to do what is right to God and to men. Our text today says love believes all things, and that means that we are always ready to believe the best about others. How many of us come into a situation where we immediately are looking for the worst? I got to tell you something. I believe, and I've had many a debate and many a conversation with this, I believe there's good in all people. I believe that we are born with good in us. I believe people learn to be bad. It doesn't just come automatically. But because we've learned to be bad, we've learned to do wrong, we've learned to have problems, we can also learn to do good and we can learn to be good. And sometimes those people that you have the hardest time dealing with could turn out to be the greatest friends you've ever had if you would only look for the good that exists in them and not notice the bad. When God looked at Dennis, he said, "Man, I'm going to use you. And you're going to do this, and you're going to do this." You know, he didn't look at Dennis and say, "Well, you've this. He didn't see all the bad character flaws and the hundreds of them that exist. He said, I'm going to look at the good. And when he looks at you, he says, "You are my child, and I created you, and I made you to be good. And that's what I want you to be. And I want the world to see that good in you. And I want the world to see the love in you that comes from me." He made you to be good. He made you to be righteous. The world would like to see us act in other ways. Filled with the fruit of righteousness comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. It's awesome. Love bears all things, and it doesn't discuss other people's sins. And that word "bears" that used in there means to cover. Love covers all things. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs. So our Valentine message also to the world must be of sincerity. That's a love of profession. Romans 12:9 says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Love must be sincere. The Living Bible puts it this way. Don't just pretend that you love others. Really love them. 1 John 3, 18-19. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. Let's see our story about Jim and Jack ends here. For more than 9 years, Jack kept house for Jim. For more than 9 years, he made the daily trip to the tower to operate the heavy equipment until one day when he died of tuberculosis. In all those years, Jack never made a mistake. He never threw a switch incorrectly. He never sighted a car in error. Not one accident or even a narrow miss was reported at the time or at that line. Jack came down with tuberculosis and he died 6 months later. He's buried in Cape Colony, South Africa, not far from the outpost where he worked for almost a decade, for his love for a friend. His grave is a silent testimony of selflessness. Oh, by the way, I don't think I mentioned that Jack would be Jim White's devoted friend who cleaned house and pumped water and tended the garden and manned the switch tower. Was not a man at all. He was a baboon. Listen, if an ape can demonstrate that kind of love, can't we who call ourselves Christians be known for our love more than anything else? If the ape got it right, can't we? God so loved us that Jesus died for us. And we must strive to be an example of that same love to a lost and dying world. Jesus says in John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And all who love Jesus should show it. His love for us should direct us to love each other. And so my prayer is that the Lord would help each of us to spread his message of love around the world. For how long? Well, until he comes. You know what? This love, folks, this love is God's Valentine card to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for all that means and all that you have done for us. And we pray, Father, that we would understand love with our relationships and those around us, that we'd understand love with our spouses and our children. And Father, now as we prepare to come to a table of communion, Lord, we would pray that we would remember the great love that you gave to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. So much love that he was willing to come to this earth and to be born, to live, to die, to be crucified, to be risen again, to pay the price, Lord, for our sins. Father, as we go into this week, help us to not only think about love this week, but to think about it in every day of our life. And to share and to show that love to the people around us. Lord, we just lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. It is an honor to be able to come and to share a time of communion with you. We come today to this table, not as examples of perfection, but we come as witnesses of grace. And we come in remembrance of the self-giving love of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us remember that we are a part of his whole great family, the Church of God. Let us remember that his blood was shed for us. And in his name, I do invite everyone here who strives to follow him to join in this memorial of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. If I could have the elders come, please. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it. Let us give thanks. Heavenly Father, as we come now, we come into your presence to remember the broken body of Christ. And Father, as we would do so, as we would partake of this, I just ask that we would remember this, and that we remember that you have sent the Holy Spirit to live within us, to give us discernment and direction. But we remember, Lord, the sacrifice that you paid for our sins and the life we lived. So, Father, I just ask your blessing on this, on each one who partakes this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, "This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let us eat it together. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave to them, and they all drank of it. Let us give thanks. Heavenly Father, as we come now, we again remember that it was not only that broken body, but it was the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the blood that flowed down over him and flowed down that cross. And that blood is the blood that washed away the darkness in us and washed away the sins that we have, and the forgiveness came as the blood was shed. And Father, as we would partake of this at this time, help us to remember that. Such a great sacrifice, such a great price paid on our behalf and for our sins. Father, even though we didn't deserve it, you were willing to do it, and Jesus was willing to come. Bless this cup, Lord, in Jesus' name. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Jesus said, "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us drink it together. The Bible says when they finished, they sang a song, and they all went out. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Father, we thank you for those that have come and been a part of this service today. We pray a blessing on their lives. And Father, we lift those up to you that could not be here today and just ask that you would touch them and be with them. Lord, all these things we give to you. In Jesus' name, amen.